In the last weeks, we've been talking about this whole idea of having a front lines faith. That God did not create his people and his church to somehow huddle behind the four walls of a church building. He's actually called us to be the church on assignment, on mission out in the world. He has created us to have a front lines faith. And so over these last weeks, we've been kind of rehearsing this front lines faith declaration. And it's this three sentences. And so I want to start this morning by kind of breaking that apart into these three different statements. And here's the first one right here. I want you to read it out loud with me, a front lines faith declaration. Here's the first statement. I am Jesus' first and best representative wherever he places me. It ain't my mama. It ain't my community group leader. It ain't my pastor. It's me. Everybody say, it's me.
It's me.
Say it again. It's me. I am the one. I am the one who is Jesus' first and best representative wherever he would place me. And you go, man, I just don't know. I just don't know. Really? Me? Because you look in the mirror just like I do, and sometimes we look at ourselves and go, what was God thinking? What was he thinking? But you know what? The beautiful thing, and we've been looking at this the last couple of weeks. If you want to catch up, you can go on our website or onto iTunes and listen to the podcast to get caught up if you weren't with us. But last week, we even finished with what Peter wrote and said, that we are God's chosen people, a royal people. We are his ambassadors, and he has empowered us to speak on his behalf. Whew. Not on our own behalf. Because if it was just us talking, it was just us representing, you know what? We would probably fall short. But we get to be Christ's representatives wherever he has placed us. In our home, in our neighborhood, in our schools, in our places of work, and even around the world. We get to be Christ's ambassadors and his representatives, his first and his best. Here's the second statement. Go ahead and read it out loud with me. Within me is everything needed for God to bring salvation to any person and redemption to any situation. Why can we even say that? Because he's given us his Holy Spirit. Because I am not alone. God lives within me. He dwells within me in power. He has empowered me. If you read the beginning of the book of Acts, here's what you'll find out. This is what Jesus' promise was, that the Holy Spirit would come upon us and would empower us to go to the front lines. Wherever there's a need, wherever there's people that are hurting, wherever there's people with questions, we get to be God's empowered people. So within me is everything that's needed. Because where I go, God goes. I am not alone. And here is the third part of the declaration. You ready? I have been sent on mission into the world, authorized and empowered to minister the love and message of Jesus to those around me. And as we've been looking at, especially last week, we learned that what Paul said was that we literally are Christ's ambassadors. We are his ambassadors. In fact, just to make sure we're all on the same page, and because this is really is the central scripture that we are looking at through this series, I want us to go and look not at the entire passage that we read last week, but I want to go over just a couple of those scriptures. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to dive into kind of the middle of where we picked up or where we were last week. In 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17, we read this. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Are you thankful for that? That the old is gone and I can be made new in Christ. And some of you who have walked with Jesus for a very long time and you say, man, I wish I could be new all over again. Guess what? His mercies are new every morning. Guess what? You don't even have to be, you might walk with Jesus for 50 years. But when you wake up tomorrow, you don't have to wake up the same person you are today. We are made new. There is a newness. There is a refreshing work because the Spirit of God lives in us. We are continually being made new. It says the old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And then listen to this line here. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. It's our task. This is our mission, to reconcile people to God. That's why he sends us to the front lines, because it's on those front lines where people are more distant from God and need to be reminded, need to be told. You can have relationship with God. Whew. That he does not hold your sins against you, but you can be made new, the old gone, and you can become a new creation in Christ. Praise the Lord. It is the mission of reconciliation. Then we go on and we read this, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So Jesus came and it was his mission to bring reconciliation. So when we go on mission to reconcile people to Jesus, we're basically joining Jesus on mission. This is not unique to us. This is what Jesus himself did and modeled for us, was to reconcile people to God. So it says that, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Now listen to this. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So one, we have a mission of reconciliation. This is your task, to go and reconcile people to him. And we have the message of reconciliation as well. So we are people on mission with a message. On mission with a message, all focused around reconciling people to God. People who are in broken relationship with God, pulling them together, letting them know God does not count your sins against you. He loves you and wants to be in relationship with you. So he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So, because of that, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ, which I'm telling you is a heavy-duty concept, and it's what we're going to be looking at a little bit more in depth in the moments to come. We speak for Christ. When we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That is our message, this wonderful message of reconciliation. Literally speaking for Christ as his ambassadors when we declare that people can be made right with God. When we speak for Christ, sent as his ambassadors into this world with this amazing message of reconciliation, sometimes we might say, but okay, but what words do I use? Like literally, like, okay, so if I speak for Christ with this message of reconciliation, what am I supposed to say? Because can I tell you, there's only three options. There's only three options of what words you're going to use. You're going to use someone else's words. You know, you encounter someone with a problem or a question or something, or your neighbor, and So you can use someone else's words. I mean, you can tell them, oh, you know what? I saw Oprah one time and she said this. It was pretty cool, right? Dr. Phil had something really good to say about that very thing. So you can use someone else's words. Or here's number two. You can use your own words. Making stuff up. Your own ideas. Well, you know, I think I remember when I was a child that, you know, this happened to me and here's that. I mean, so you can use someone else's words. You can use your own words. Or here's the third option. You can literally speak the words of God. Can I tell you which one has more power? Which one has more authority? Which one has more potential for seeing one go from death to life? I'm telling you, let's use God's words when we speak to people. I mean, listen, we're called as ambassadors. So how do we get God's words in us? And I've been thinking about this concept that we're God's ambassadors. Could you imagine literally if you were an ambassador of the United States and you're sent to a foreign land? Could you imagine being an ambassador who never communicated with your country, with your own country? You're just out there winging it, right? Listen, I think if I was an ambassador representing the United States of America in some other land, I would be in regular communication with my nation and with, right, all the way up to the president. I want to know what's going on. I want to know what you say, because when I open my mouth, I'm speaking on behalf of our nation. I'm literally representing our president when I open my mouth. So listen, if we were out there as ambassadors representing our nation, we would stay in regular communication with our nation. Can I tell you, God says we are ambassadors. We likewise need to stay in regular communication with our kingdom, the kingdom of God. And guess what? God has given us two distinct ways that we are able to stay in regular communication with him and actually hear what God says about issues, about problems, and even about when we face hostility. He's given us his word. He has given us the Bible. It is God's word. So when we go to the word, guess what? We are getting God's word all up in our spirit, so that when a question comes or when there's a need to speak on behalf of God, literally what's coming out is the word of God. And not only has God given us his word, he's given us himself. Because his promise was that he would give us his very Holy Spirit. So we have the Spirit of Christ within us at all times. So we have Scripture and we have the Spirit. Everybody say Scripture and Spirit. We have those two things at all times. At all times to tap into, to make sure that when I speak, I'm not just saying what someone else said, and I'm not just coming up with my own thoughts or ideas, trying to figure this out in my own earthly wisdom, but I literally have the very word of God empowered by his Spirit. This is what 1 Peter 3:15-16 says. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So the reason we're talking about this is because Paul said, you speak for Christ. You're his ambassador. And then Peter echoes that by saying, hey, listen, always be ready. Always be prepared. You need to be ready to speak the words of God in any situation to say, why is it that you believe? What do you believe? I don't even understand that. How does that work? We're to always have a ready reply. We need to be prepared, church. Because I'll tell you what happens when we're not prepared to speak for Christ. One of those other two alternates usually are what come out. If we're not prepared, guess what? I start trying to come up with my own ideas or try to remember what I heard someone else say. We need to be ready. Be prepared. Like a good Boy Scout or Girl Scout. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this, it says, with gentleness and respect. See, even when we use the word of God, we're not doing that to like slay people. No, we're doing it with a gentleness in a way to say, hey, here's what God says. Here's what God says. May this be life to you, not death to you. Because God does not condemn you, neither do I. How would I have the right to condemn you if God doesn't condemn you? Right? So there's that gentleness and respect that the same way that God loves you, I love you as well. No matter what you've done, no matter your life story, no matter how much brokenness, God doesn't condemn you, neither do I. If God doesn't hold your sin against you, how could I hold your sin against you? Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You know, because sometimes when God calls us to the front lines, listen, we're interacting with people whose lifestyles and their choices and their brokenness is pretty apparent that they're not people who have been following after God. They're not cleaned up yet. Praise the Lord. They're just living life. And their sin, their brokenness is very apparent. And we need to realize that if God does not hold their sin against them, how can I hold their sin against them? Just ponder that for a moment. See, I don't know what sin really trips you up. I mean, it really, really makes you angry. How could someone do that? That's so yucky or broken or nasty or vile, or don't they realize what they're doing to their family when they, you know, and fill in the blank. Whatever that sin or brokenness is. And yet we read God's word say that he does not hold their sin against them. Now listen, don't get me wrong. And I've talked extensively about this before. God does not want to leave us in our sin. He wants us to become new creations where the old is gone and now we are walking in a newness of life in him, empowered by his Holy Spirit, so that we can learn to say no to sin. That's what scripture tells us. But when we go to the front lines, we need to realize, man, I'm walking amongst the wounded, the broken. God, help me to not hold people's sin against them so I can go with gentleness and respect to bring the very word of God. I want to finish with just three ideas about the word of God. And I'm going to ask our ushers to go right now and pass out a little handout that's coming to you. In order to speak on God's behalf, I think there's three things that we should probably keep in mind. They're very, very simple. Number one is we need to know God's word. Would you say that with me? Know God's word. Listen, like I said, if we're not speaking God's word, there's only two other possibilities. It's our word or someone else's word. But so how do we know God's word? I want to show you a scripture really quick. It's not one of the ones that's on that page that you're being handed. That's for another reason that will become clear in a moment. But I want to show you something. I love this. Colossians 3:16 says this. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. See, there's something about that phrase about dwelling you richly. How do I come to know God's word? I think that phrase kind of embodies it right there. We need to interact with God's word on such a level where literally it dwells in us richly. To dwell simply means to live, but it's a cooler sounding word. I am dwelling with you. I don't want to just move in. I want to dwell with you. Listen, God's word doesn't need to just have a passing introduction to us on Sunday mornings, sorry, where we walk in and we hear a message and we interact with God's word there, but then, like, you know, 90 minutes later, we're kind of like out the door and off, you know, watch the Raiders. Can I tell you that that's kind of like dating God's word, right? It ain't dwelling with God's word. We are to allow God's word to dwell richly within us. How do we do that? We could do a whole teaching series just on that, and maybe at some point it would be a really good idea too. But I think that there, you know, couple of few things. One, read the word. Be people of the word. Now listen, that can look different for different people. There's some who don't feel like they've even read the word unless they're doing like one of these mega Bible plans, like I'm going to read the entire Bible every year. And man, if I miss a day, I go back and I feel all guilty if I'm not keeping up with it. And I've got to read the entire Bible every year, right? Hey, if that works for you, bless the Lord. Literally, I mean, that's awesome. That is a great way to, but can I tell you, that may not be your story. But you can still read the word. I don't care. Listen, as your pastor, I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you just read a paragraph of scripture regularly, as long as you would know at the end of that time that it is dwelling in you richly, that you are allowing the truth and the power of God's word to impact your life. And sometimes, because it's kind of a big book, we can get a little overwhelmed with it. So listen, can I just tell you, I want you to have the freedom. Don't get overwhelmed. If you need to know someplace to start, flip to the New Testament. That's where we see Jesus coming into the story of the scripture. And there are four books at the beginning: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call them the Gospels because gospel means good news. And it's when the good news of God himself coming in flesh to our world appears in the story. Start with a gospel. Many people, let you say, hey, start with the book of John. Great book. But can I tell you, Mark is even quicker. And it reads like an action story because it is an action story. Mark, man, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you go back to Mark and look at that again. Everything is like fast and this was happening. And then immediately God did this. And then Jesus, it's pretty cool. I'd say read Mark, then read John. And then keep going and read the book of Acts to hear how the very first churches begin to behave with each other and how they began to go out onto the front lines in their context to do ministry. Keep going from there. Read the word. But here's another way that we can allow God's word to dwell in us richly, and that is to memorize God's word. Whoa, that's a big book. Where do we start? Well, that's why I've given you this handout. Can I tell you that these five scriptures, this I'm giving to you today as a challenge for the next 5 weeks. This is a 5 week challenge to memorize one little passage each week for the next 5 weeks. And because we have been reading this concept that we have been given, we've been sent on the mission of reconciliation with the message of reconciliation. All five of these short little passages right here are all focused on reconciliation. They all kind of like give a different facet or different words to use about what Christ has done for us to allow us to have full reconciled relationship with God. Cool? Five scriptures. So next week, it's John 3, 16 and 17. Very likely, there's a whole lot of people in this room that already know John 3, 16. But can I tell you that, boy, without verse 17 attached, it doesn't give the complete picture of reconciliation, because people assume that God wants to condemn them, that God holds their sin against them. But guess what? He doesn't. He doesn't. So by next Sunday, John 3, 16 and 17, we want to commit that to memory. And we put this kind of on cardstock. There's some little dotted lines. You can cut this apart so you got your like weak scripture. If you need more of these, we'll give you more of them. You can put it in your car. Put it on the dinner table. Make this a family project. Before you eat dinner, say, hey, let's read it over. Who can quote it, right? Let's kind of make it fun. Make it something that's like, hey, we really want to get these into our spirit, because God's word is to dwell in us richly. Listen, all memorization is, well, could be a lot of things. Could be like cramming for a test. That's not what this is. That's not allowing it to dwell in you richly. But memorizing scripture that is important to us does this. It's like reading it and then allowing it to read us. We're not just reading it, but we're allowing it to read us. We're allowing it to get deep down into all the different corners of our thinking and our story. And when we memorize God's word, something really cool happens. That when we go out to the front line as his ambassadors to speak for him, guess what's going to come to mind first? Those things that we've actually committed to memory because they're really important. All right? So that's what we're doing. And I just love it, because I know that there's probably a handful of people, you haven't even yet put your trust in Jesus yet. You're sitting here, congratulations, thanks for like checking us out. Like, what are all these people talking about? They say, they talk a lot about Jesus, talk about a lot about God. Can I tell you, I invite you to memorize these five passages as well. Even if you have not yet fully put your trust in Jesus, because I'll tell you, I think something revolutionary could begin to happen in your heart as you would begin to read God's word and let it read you, just through the practice of memorization. Here's the last couple of things. Not only do we need to know God's word, we need to speak God's word. We need to speak it. Literally, open our mouths and let it come pouring out. All over, we see again and again, as we've already read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are Christ's ambassadors. We speak for him when we bring this wonderful message of reconciliation. But we also read in 1 Peter that we're to do that with gentleness and respect. Let me show you one other concept. It's from Ephesians 19 and 20. Paul said this. He said, pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, which is the message of reconciliation. That is the mystery of the gospel. Is this, that we can be made right with God. Do you see that even the apostle Paul said, hey, pray for me. That whenever I do what? Open my mouth, that words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador. Even though he says, I'm an ambassador in chains. He was writing this from prison. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So in 1 Peter, we read that we're to speak and open our mouths with gentleness. But you know what? Here we see that we're also to speak it fearlessly or with boldness. When we open our mouths to speak for Christ, there should be a gentle boldness. A gentle boldness in the way that we declare God's word. We're gentle because we don't want anyone to assume that we're not speaking for Christ, and we know that Jesus represents peace and rest and wholeness and freedom. He's not coming to beat you up. He's coming to bring you life. So we come gently, but we also come with a boldness. We come with a boldness that should never cause others to doubt if we're speaking for Christ. You need to know, this is not my words. This is what God said. So it gives us that fearless, gentle boldness. And then here's the third thing. We need to know God's word. We need to speak God's word. And then we just need to trust God to do what only he can do, which is to make his word come alive in the heart of that other person. I can't do that. Listen, even when I'm here preaching, I cannot make God's word come alive in your spirit. But can I tell you, God can do that. And I've seen him do it over and over and over. I don't know, maybe some of you are called to like preach, to teach. And you guys will have opportunity if that's what God's called you to do. But all of us are called to speak. All of us are called to open our mouths, allow God to fill our mouths. But listen, we need to trust God that as we open our mouths and to speak for him, that he will make his very word come alive. We're going to finish with this last scripture. It's from Matthew chapter 10. This is Jesus' words. And he's also talking about speaking his word. And he says, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. See, because Jesus calls his followers to the front lines where there's a lot of brokenness, a lot of baggage. He says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. In other words, you need to go with wisdom. I mean, you need to be like looking for opportunities, but also looking where maybe people are coming to do harm. You really have eyes of wisdom, but also harmless as doves, meaning there's that gentleness and respect. That's probably another way to say gentle boldness. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. In other words, the front lines are not always going to be peaceful places where people are going to say, oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming on a mission with a message of reconciliation. No, some people are going to be hostile to the message of God. And Jesus is saying, I know. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. Oh, but listen, but this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and unbelievers about me. You will be my ambassadors, speaking my words of reconciliation. This will be your opportunity to go onto the front lines. And then he goes on, he finishes by saying this, when you are arrested, yay, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. Listen to this. God will give you the right words at the right time. Thank you, Jesus. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Know God's word. Because we want to speak for him, not for ourselves or for someone else. Speak God's word. Be prepared at all times, no matter what the situation, to speak for him. And then trust him to do what only he can do, to fill your mouth with words of life, words of freedom, words of wholeness and healing, words of reconciliation, to bring people to himself.